For our short meditation, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. I request one of you to read in Malayalam and one in English as well. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Thank you. And the following words from Isaiah: For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Yeshuvin jananathe naam paadi sandoshikka aashayodu thandasanam aanandichiduga Yeshuvina vadaram teertu peyadigaram kuduganam paduganam bahu sandoshame kuduganam paduganam bahu sandoshame. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this blessed Sunday morning. Thank you for keeping us, Lord, safe under the shadow of your wings amidst, Lord, the weather conditions. Thank you for bringing us safely to church and keeping us healthy, Lord Father, and for helping us see the light of another day in our lives, Lord Father. As we gather today, Lord Father, together to enjoy your presence in our lives, Lord, as we move into worship, we pray that your presence will continue to be there in our lives, Lord Father. Especially we pray for this time of coming together to study from your word. We pray that, Lord, through these words you will speak to us, Lord Father, and Lord, we will be able to be your children in the places you have placed us. We ask all this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. ദൈവനാമം വാഴ്ത്തപ്പെടുമാറാകട്ടെ. ബെത്ലഹേമിൽ ജാതനായ ക്രിസ്തേഷ്യൻ്റെ നാമത്തിൽ നിങ്ങൾക്ക് എല്ലാവർക്കും സ്നേഹവന്ദനം. യു നോ, ഐ വാസ് റീഡിങ് എ ബുക്ക് ഫ്രം ഫ്യൂ ഇയേഴ്സ് അഗോ, എ ബുക്ക് കോൾഡ് ക്രിസ്മസ് ക്വൈറ്റ് മൊമെൻറ്റ്സ് ഫോർ ദ സീസൺ. ആൻഡ് ദേർസ് എ ചാപ്റ്റർ കോൾഡ് ആൻ അൺറെക്കഗ്നൈസ്ഡ് ഗിഫ്റ്റ്. ആൻഡ് ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇസ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദ വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ലൂക്ക് ചാപ്റ്റർ 2 verses 1 to 7, where Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken in all of Roman world. So this was the first census that took place when Quirinius was the governor, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went there with Mary to register for their new baby, and while they were there was when Jesus was born. When you look at world history in the early 19th century, it was a war-weary world, a war filled with world, and people were anxiously watching out for the different world battles that happened. But during that time, very obscure, insignificant events happened, but the war took precedence in people's life. If you look in the year 1809, between different battles that happened at Waterloo and at Trafalgar, we see different people were born. We see William E. Gladstone was born in the year 1809 in Liverpool. Alfred Lord Tennyson was born in the same year in England. Oliver Wendell was born in Boston. Abraham Lincoln was born in Kentucky. Now, almost 200 years later, is there the slightest doubt about the greatest contribution to history? When we look at it, were it those battles or were it those babies? So if you look at that particular year, although it was filled with so much battle, these babies that were born in that year gave greater contribution to history, and they were able to liberate the human race so much more than those battles did. So it was with the birth of Jesus. Bethlehem crowd was worried about the census that was taken. They were worried about who is going to be in power next, who is going to take over Rome next. They had no inkling that an infant baby boy was born in that town. That infant son of God would be the savior that will take care of all the problems that they were going through. And he was born in a stable where they didn't expect him to be born. So we can get up so caught up with the commercialization of Christmas. Everybody is in the busyness. Everybody is getting stuff. Everybody is thinking about what more, what next. But we sometimes overlook the significance of this season. We know this little baby was really the one who we have to remember during this season. His sacrificial death for us sinners, his resurrection from the grave was the destiny that he had for each one of us. So we recognize the value of his gift in our lives. And we have to thank God for this indescribable gift, which we many times think as the unrecognized gift in our lives. So his birth gives us the reason, a faith to believe in God. Yeshuvinte Jananam namukku Karthavil Vishwasikkan, allengi Deivathil Vishwasikkan, oru karanamayi theerunnu. So we all live in the 4G LTE time of our lives, where everything is in the 4G LTE speed, everything around us revolves around that. So I wanted to come up with 4 G's that we can observe this season of Christmas in our lives, 4 G's. The first G is gospel. So Christmas is good news. It's gospel to everyone, everywhere. And so during a Christmas visit in the New York City's Metropolitan Museum, one author was describing a particular scene that he saw over there. He saw a huge nativity scene set up in the museum. It had about 200 figures of different things. So it had many shepherds, many angels, magi, and different other aspects of that. But one particular figure stood out to this author, and he writes about that. And this figure appeared different from the rest, and that was a barefoot man who carried a heavy load on his shoulder. The heaviness of his burden wouldn't help him lift his shoulder high or head high to witness the magnificent birth of Jesus. So when we look at what this author has written, Christmas can be a difficult time for a lot of people who are burdened physically and who are burdened mentally and who have different baggages that they are carrying in their lives. It could be a difficult time for those who are carrying the burden of hard work, those who are having stressful family situations, personal loss. So Christmas can be a difficult time, but the good news is Jesus Christ, who came at Christmas for us to bring us joy for the season, not just to us who know him, but for those who don't know him or even heard about him, so that this good news is what will lift them up to see and witness Christ in their lives. And we see Jesus use the words of Isaiah to announce his God-given mission on earth. So he came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recovery of sick to the blind, and liberty to those who are oppressed. Those are the words we read earlier. The second G is Google. We know we all are blessed with technology. Technology surrounds us always. There's so much that we can do with technology in this generation than we could ever do before. But sometimes we tend to overlook the possibilities, and we think about it as a way in which we propagate things that are not supposed to. But when we know, with this kind of mass media influence on us, this kind of social media skills that all of us have, and few of us are very active on social media, how about we use the skills for the betterment of others? And how about we share gospel through these mediums? And if at all, if you're lacking these skills, now we can take a step back from social media this Christmas season and make our human bonds stronger. Many times we are all very comfortable in communicating to an interface medium in our lives, but we lack face-to-face human touch interactions. So this Christmas, let's make a change by building stronger human relationship. Let's use our time, our money, our efforts wisely in a way that it brings about joy in someone else's life. Can we, this Christmas, if we haven't met the postman, the mailman who delivers our packages and greetings and gifts to us, if we can just take some 5 minutes out of our busy schedule, can meet and talk to him. He brings all our stuff one time. Find out how his Christmas is going, how many greetings has he's been able to receive in his life. These are little things. We might not even know who that person is, but this Christmas, try to meet that somebody who is not in regular touch with you. Call somebody whom you haven't called a long time now to say Merry Christmas. Let us talk to a neighbor who hasn't whom we haven't met, and talk to a lonely neighbor who does not have anybody to spend Christmas with. These are little efforts, but goes a long way. If we can spread the joy through these kind of mediums, let us be able to do that. The third G is green. Now we see that Christmas has changed over the years and everything is so commercialized now. Earlier we used to have natural Christmas tree where we used to cut them, bring it into the house and decorate. There was so much joy in going to fell down a tree and bring it home, the smell of the natural atmosphere at home. But these days we know it's all replaced by artificial Christmas tree. We box them up after Christmas, then it stays in the basement, and then after some time you don't see it also, and then there's a new version of the Christmas tree coming and then we're buying it. It's all getting so commercial right now. There's so much Christmas light all around us when the people are still living in darkness. There's so many people who haven't received this light when we deck up our lives with lights. And we don't even have time these days to sing carol songs. Some of us have even forgotten our good old carols. Now it's all there on the Christmas music stations. All you have to do is with the touch of a button, play it and listen to it. So things have changed for us from being a greener Christmas. So many times I've read this article in India, the New Year and Christmas parties in India, that the electricity that is consumed and spent during that time is good enough to light one village in India for the whole year. So how much electricity, how much light we consume? Don't get me wrong in saying that I'm not against decorate. It's all good to decorate everything, but we have to see how sustainable we are in all these kind of things that we do. So can we take small efforts to protect the environment this Christmas? Can we reduce, reuse and recycle our Christmas decorations? And growing up in our church and the church that Kochuma and I go to, we have this theme of recycled Christmas. We always decorate our church with things that are recyclable and reusable. One time we made a Christmas tree with cardboard boxes. One time we made it with CDs. One time we made it with the different recycled things that you get from the photocopier machine. And this time we are making a Christmas tree with coconut shells. So different ways in which we can contribute toward sustaining our nature. So that is our vision, to have a greener Christmas this year. The fourth G is gifts. We always are caught up buying the perfect gift for everyone, making our wish list longer. We want our gifts to be packaged in perfect boxes. So receiving these gifts brings a lot of us joy. But sometimes we forget the real gift for Christmas, the real reason for this season is Jesus Christ. Sometimes our children might not remember what you gave them for a Christmas in 2012 or 2009, but they will definitely remember the Christmas that you spent time with them. They will definitely remember the love you shared with them. So this time, let's not get caught up in giving the perfect gift in a box, but a perfect gift in their hearts, that we are able to spend time with them during Christmas and give them the gift of love. And many of us know the famous devotional Streams in the Desert. So another devotion on December 25th in that book was about a Christmas card in which they show the picture of a pastor who fell asleep on a Christmas Eve, and then the rest of the details are in the card for us to remember. So that particular greeting card was based on John chapter 15 verses 22, where Jesus asked his disciples, what would you do if I wasn't here? If in the upper room Jesus is asking or challenging his disciples, what if Christ hadn't come? So we see this pastor on Christmas Eve falls asleep, and then he has a dream on Christmas Eve. So in his dream, he saw himself in his house, and then the dream was about what happened to the world if Christmas didn't happen, or what if Christ was not there in this world. So in his dream, while he's in this deep sleep, he saw himself walking through the house, and he didn't see any Christmas tree or any decoration, no stocking hung up anywhere in his tree, and there were no cards that anybody sent him for Christmas. So he gets out of his house and he sees on the streets there are no carolers, no churches, church buildings with crosses that point toward heaven. And so he again gets worried about the fact that, oh, Christmas hasn't happened. So he comes back home again and he goes into his library, tries to pick out a book, and there was no book that had anything written about Jesus in that book. He gets worried again, and then while he's thinking about it, he hears his doorbell ring, and his friend comes and tells him that my mother is sick and dying. Would you come and pray for my mother? So the pastor hurries to the poor friend's house and goes there to stand by her and pray for her. So he tries to open his Bible and tries to give a word of comfort to the mother, and he realized his Bible ended in Malachi, and there was nothing from the New Testament in his chapter that he could give comfort to this woman who was dying. And he sees that his Bible didn't have any Christmas story, it didn't have any miracles, it didn't have any Sermon on the Mount, it didn't have any parables, and no verses like come to me and I'll give you rest, no promise, no hope, no salvation. So we see that this pastor at that time really realized the significance of not having Christ in their life. So he again goes out of this house without being able to give any comfort message. 2 days later, this woman died, and pastor was arranging the funeral, and then he stood by her coffin and didn't know what hope to give to the family that was grieving, because he didn't have any words of comfort to give. There was no Easter, there was nothing that he could give strength through this family. And then suddenly, towards the end of that dream, towards the end of his sleep, he hears his church choir singing in the background, "Oh, come, holy faithful, joyful and triumphant." And then that morning, he had the best Christmas sermon to give, is about the significance of having Christ in our Christmas, how we can put Christ back in our Christmas celebration, because without Christ, there wouldn't be Christmas. Without Christ in our lives, life would be meaningless. Sometimes we have to go without something before we realize or appreciate the value of that thing in our lives. So may our Christmas celebrations also be meaningful. Let us remember the true reason for this season is Jesus Christ, and let's be able to put Christ back in our Christmas. So may the Lord enable all of us to continue to be meaningful in our celebrations, and let's enjoy the joy of having Jesus Christ in our lives as well. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? As we bow down to pray, I would like to read to you a Christmas prayer by Robert Louis Stevenson. Loving Father, help us remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and worship of the wise men. Close the door of hate and open the door of love all over the world. Let your kindness come with every gift and good desires, with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessings which Christ brings, and teach us to be merry with clear hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be thy children, and Christmas evening brings us to our beds with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven, for Jesus' name, amen.